Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Match Ball.
Hello there. Welcome to the Match Ball for the Villa game. Dan here with Michael and Rob as well. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% discount on your legal fees. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 15% on wills, conveyancing and probate till the end of January 2023. Have a look on the website for details. Strange game. Strange game. A game where we were much the better side. We've come out losing again. And I don't know how to feel about it.
No, nor do I. We actually played pretty well for the most part. Just the defending bit again.
Against the problem is we're finding ourselves two goals behind, aren't we? And then it's all fine and well looking good. But if we keep conceding goals, it's going to be a problem.
It did feel a bit like going back to the Championship where kind of dominate a game or at least have much better chances, kind of forget to score and give the opposition goals, which isn't a great combination. But yeah, we were better.
We had loads of chances. We had loads of chances. But there was, I think we should have had at least one penalty, probably two. I can't understand why they're not given, truthfully. There'll be penalties given for less than that this week. I mean, there were a dozen free kicks given in the game for less physical contact than those.
Well, we did come up with one theory, didn't we, about VAR?
Andy Madley, Huddersfield fan on VAR.
Yeah.
He is definitely a Huddersfield fan.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Went sixth form with him.
what was he studying?
I don't remember, actually. He wasn't there long, I don't think.
Veterinary studies?
Hey, what? Animal husbandry. And all that. No, but
I got the text earlier on, by the way, from someone who said to me, if you had Michael Oliver on VAR and Madley had been refereeing, we'd have got those at least one penalty there. I mean, look, we can't just concentrate on that. We should say that up front. But they need to be discussed, don't they?
No, I was concentrating on it because I'm saying we should have had some goals because we should have had at least one penalty. And then the Harrison chance is like, it looks like a tap in, doesn't it? And it's a great save. But it's one of those that if he scuffs it, it goes under him. If he hits it into the ground, it bounces over him. Like there are many things that lead to a goal there. That, and he was a bit unlucky.
That was a classic Jack Harrison miss. I feel like he's done a few of these across his years at Leeds. There was definitely one in the Championship where he had a similar chance to that and seemed to try and take a touch or do a back heel or something. And similar last year against Leicester when he managed to knee the ball onto the bar over the bar from sort of underneath it.
But worst bit about doing video is I've just caught sight of my face. I look like a whiskey face. It's because I went swimming today and the chlorine's affected my skin. Yeah. I look like I've been on the spirits. Sorry, Rob, you were saying.
Definitely.
Yeah, we are live on YouTube for our TSB Plus members, by the way. And afterwards, podcast and video available for everybody else. What a weird game. I'm not going to try and put on the pretend optimistic, happy front tonight because I'm just confused by Leeds now.
It's weird that I feel
we keep losing, but it was all right.
I feel like often my happiest games this season have been when we've lost. Like we came in after Arsenal, I thought, well, we've done well there. And then today I think, well, actually we played pretty well. Like I think if we play that game again, we probably win it.
We probably don't play like that though if they play it again. That's the problem, isn't it? We'd come out and just give them four goals instead or something.
But this is the nature of the Premier League, isn't it? One of the things I think I've come to terms with over the last couple of years is that the difference between winning and losing with so many similar teams in the division is so tight. The margins are so tight. And giving up goals like we did means, well, it just goes back to the point, doesn't it? If you give up two goals every game, you're going to lose quite a lot. So you need to be defensively sound.
I mean, they scored from our corner, didn't they? Was the way the goal happened. And I mean, when he actually passed it to Bailey, I thought he'd made the wrong pass because there's someone flying up on the left who looked to be in more space. But I mean, both goals actually, they were kind of the same thing, weren't they? It was Pascal getting, Bailey looked to go outside, then cut back and he was too slow.
It is the finish for their first is excellent. Like, it's their only shot of the half, and their XG was something like 0.12, was it? Ours was above one. But yeah, we used to score goals like that on the break from corners, and now we just concede them all the time, it feels like. I mean, Rocker, just get the ball and put it in the net from that cross. It was. We actually took a few good set pieces tonight, and yeah, that was a really good cross from Jackie, I think. And just, you thought, go on, knock that in. And
yeah, it, I don't know if it was a bit, I think it might have been a bit close to him in an awkward height, so he sort of, he more or less just left it, or he tried to sort of throw a thigh at it or something. It was a strange body shape he had during it, but yeah, I mean, when they break, I mean, this was a problem all game. We're just so horribly out of shape at the back. Like, there's no semblance of a line there. So normally it means one person is way deeper than everyone else, which means that's the line that all the attack can move to, and it just completely knackers us time and time again.
Gary Neville did some of the analysis on this at half time, didn't he? I think it was him or whoever it was, one of those chumps, about it was Cooper backing off when they were running through, and there was a suggestion. I think actually it might have been on the Totally Legal stream we had in the first half, actually.
I wasn't watching that, to be clear.
All right. It was Totally Legal anyway. The Sky Sports one just had different voices on it and different logos in the corner. But anyway, I think they were saying at halftime, either way, that the Cooper backing off then gave them loads of space to run into. Obviously, it plays a loads of people onside, and maybe you just take the yellow further up the pitch or something like that. But it's easy to say that with hindsight, isn't it?
You saw the opposite of that, though, at one point in the first half, where Cooper sort of went running forward, but then two of our defenders stayed back, and then it was just like a simple ball over the top, and our defence just seems all over. It's a bit of a dog leg. And then likewise, right at the end, when Melier went a bit mad and got booked, that was just a long ball over the top, and we suddenly looked so panicked. That's just all it takes to really create danger against us.
We need to, it feels like we need, like the old days of George Graham, like tying his defenders together just to make them so that they actually stay in the line, because it's where we seem to concede nearly all of our goals from at the moment, is that there's a fullback is dropped further back, so that someone can just walk straight through the middle and receive a chip over the top, or a centre-back's further back, and then it means there's tons of space in the down the edges for people to get in. It's
and it doesn't help having, like, Pascal, God bless him, he's not a left-back, as we keep pointing out.
No, I think that'll probably be the last we see of him at left-back for a while.
Got skinned by Bailey a couple of times, didn't he?
It's kind of by design, though, some of that, like, we'll have one fullback higher up on the pitch than the other fullback, and then it we just keep getting caught.
I mean, the higher up bit's fine. It's the one when someone's loads deeper. It's a major problem.
It's one of Jesse's favourite words, isn't it? Transition. And we're really vulnerable at it because of that, I think.
Can you excuse it? I mean, there were chance of Marsh out at times from the away end tonight, which were tweeted out by our journalists. And it feels like it is heading towards some sort of something. But it's weird, isn't it? Because you can't look at that game tonight and think, because we were the better side, you should sack him. But then we're so defensively porous, but nothing's changed. Is that down to the players? Is it the system? Is the management? I'm just finding the whole thing really hard to unpick.
It feels almost
mainly
like...
Mainly because I'm not a football expert. I'm an idiot with a podcast.
It feels almost like the last days of Bielsa, but without any of the good bit that came before it. Because it's like, it's the same, as well as you can play sometimes, we just can't stop conceding goals.
Yeah.
It is feeling like Groundhog Day, isn't it? They're just watching the same thing over and over again. There was Graham Smith tweeted at full time that Jesse braved the away end and the reception was the wrong side of mixed. But I know what you mean. I almost have a bit of sympathy for him tonight. We think, well, we should have won.
For the performances, it's not the performance that probably he deserves to get sacked for, but there have been plenty of those as well, I suppose is what you would say. It's certainly not our worst performance under him. I think, like, the Leicester game or the Fulham game or even the Cardiff game would have been more worthy, more like sacking offences for me, because we actually were terrible in those games for large parts.
Yeah, I was going to say, as much as I feel sorry for him a bit tonight, I did want him sacked 2 months ago, I guess, after Fulham. But.
And there was, yeah, I mean, that goal, the opening goal tonight, with it happening so quickly, I just thought, well, that's not anything to do with bravery, is it? That they're not brave, they're scared, you know, moments, blah, blah, blah. Just fucking defend.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't see that he has the fix for it, because he's been 10 months now in the job, and it's arguably the defending's got worse the further this goes on, the more out of shape we appear to be. And maybe that's because we're trying to be super aggressive and push forward more and stuff, which I suppose you can see the benefits of it in the attacking play, but it's just, we give such good chances to the opposition.
Yeah. I'm kind of a mind just to think, this ain't going to work, but I don't feel like I want to, like, call for his head, if you know what I mean. because it was a good performance tonight. But I just feel like with a long, medium to long term view on it, this ain't going anywhere.
Mm.
That's what I feel like about it. I don't know if I'm being unfair or not, and that's genuinely where I stand.
Yeah, I'm a bit not indifferent, but I just feel like it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Mm.
Basically, because you know, if they didn't sack him after Fulham, and then he got those two wins, and it just feels like, do you know how like we went to Villa last year, and that was the game that Radrizzani said after we went 3-1 down or whatever it was, that he wanted to leave the stadium at half time and he was convinced that something was broken. And you just think, well, how have you not got to that point with this yet?
Mm.
But like, you know, when Cardiff went 2-0 up, you just think, when's that moment going to be with Rads and Marsh? But I don't necessarily see it coming anytime soon.
No, I'm the same. I don't know what the options are for the next manager. They may be speaking to someone else, because they were clearly speaking to someone else when Bielsa was in charge. So it could be that, you know, we're on the phone to, dare I say it, Deitch or someone. You know, it probably won't be, but it'll be someone more exotic than that, because it's Arsenal's way, generally speaking. But if you were to give me an option of Marsh and this person, I'd feel more inclined to say, potentially, yes, sack him. But if the option at the moment is Marsh, we'll get rid of him, but then we won't appoint anyone for 3 weeks, and Maric might be in charge with Scoobs for a bit, and we'll see how that goes. That's what he calls him. That's what Jesse calls him, isn't it? Old Scoobs. So yeah, if that was the option, then I guess stick with Jesse a bit longer. But you'd kind of hope that the club have got something up their sleeve.
I mean, there are a couple of people in the comments on the YouTube feed saying that he's described it as our most complete performance yet as Marsh, and something to build on. He's not entirely wrong, is he? That's
defined complete.
Well, that's I guess so. Yeah,
defending is a huge part of the game,
and scoring is as well.
Yeah, I've got sympathy with the scoring, because we should have scored more. I thought we were unlucky not to get more goals. And we did get one in the net, and it was fractionally offside, wasn't it, as well? There was that one, which was...
Madly just sketching his lines with the nearest...
The line did look a bit dodgy, I have to say.
The nearest... Right, then get that off screen.
It was
quick.
Drawn from the back foot rather than like the leaning shoulder, but it was probably marginally off.
No, let's create a conspiracy theory.
Okay, fine.
Oh, God. But yeah, I don't know. It didn't look complete to me, did it? But it was...
No.
It was good, but it wasn't... It's all fine and well being good if you don't get any results, and we're not at the minute, are we?
It's hard to know as well how much of our performances at the moment are just down to the fact that you just give the ball to Nonto and let him do some stuff.
And let's talk about Nonto then. Let's talk about him. Gary Neville talked about him enough on Sky, wanting to basically sell him on already, describing him as a Man City-like winger. Twat. Stop selling our footballer. He's ours. He's only just signed. We're keeping him. He's brilliant though, isn't he?
He's great.
He's just so good.
He's so good. I mean, he was up against someone who was old enough to be his dad tonight, but
yeah, his first, did we find out that his first professional game,
yeah, was before Nonto was born,
was before Nonto was born, Ashley Young, which is wild.
Sick.
Yeah, he was brilliant, wasn't he? And you know what, we've got loads of good attacking options.
That's almost what makes me wonder if you just need, it is as simple as just get someone who can organise the defence and sort of let the attacking players do their thing, and it'll probably be fine. Because I thought that last year when we got rid of Bielsa, I thought it probably doesn't take an awful lot to fix this, because Rafinha was just make it vaguely solid and give the ball to Rafinha and hope for the best would have been more or less my tactic last season. But we've got much better attacking players this year, so
hey, and we've actually replaced Rafinha, Max Verber,
long throws, they're much better than Rafinha's, aren't they?
Yeah, it looks more comfortable.
Which is maybe not surprising given he's a big burly centre back rather than like a skittering winger.
Marsh kind of was sold to us as someone who's a bit more pragmatic, but the football isn't really that much more pragmatic, is it? It's just if not more loose than the stuff we witnessed before, in the sense that defence is completely shapeless.
Yeah, I don't think pragmatic is the word I would use to describe it, I have to say.
And I'm saying that because I want to contrast it with Unai Emery tonight, who is more pragmatic, and they got in front and basically sat back and let us have it and let us attack them, which you wouldn't want to watch, would you? You know, you wouldn't enjoy watching it as much as seeing what you got out of us going forward tonight, which is kind of the weird paradox that's built into this.
He got lucky tonight, I think, did Emery?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a particular feather in his cap that he's won that, because you have to, which I know sounds bitter, but you know, you've got no credit for it. But he didn't set up a team particularly to win that game. His setup didn't win them that game. Our shit defending.
Yeah, it's a bit like us trying to take positives out of that draw at Newcastle, isn't it? Where we got absolutely battered,
but
somehow got away with a point.
Yeah, like I was more dejected after that than I am this, because I can see promise in this performance. I just don't I just don't think he can fix the defence.
Well, there's a question here from Elliot. Says, Dan, is it any better than this time last year? Five of his signings in for 100 million and were worse. Yeah, you're right. That's what I'll say. I don't think we've gone anywhere. I don't think we will get to where we need to get to with this setup. To me, it just doesn't work. I think you probably can't add players quick enough to this squad to get it capable of playing this Marsh style of football. I think we probably can't. That's why I was asking about the pragmatism, is like, would you accept us being uglier and solid? Because that feels to me like that's the counterpoint to what we're seeing at the minute.
Maybe. But you can still organise defence properly and still have Nonto being exciting.
Yeah, but one of the criticisms we've had in the last couple of games, has been that we look like...
I've barely played a minute.
Devoid of ideas, but then give it to Nonto. But isn't that what all teams do? They give it to their talented players to make stuff happen.
Yeah, maybe
that's what Villa did. They basically just sat and waited for a couple of opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's the difficult thing, though, is that I don't think we're defensively open and terrible because we're really attacking and we're trying to give it to, you know, we're working all this brilliant space for Nonto. It sort of seems like we're just crap at defending. Like, it's not as a... Well, it is as a consequence of the style of football, isn't it? But it's not because we're out there swashbuckling in attack, I don't think.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The quote from Marsh has been fleshed out somewhat by Phil on Twitter. He's saying, in our sport, sometimes you can be on top of the match and lose. This is, for me, our most complete performance since I've been here. And the best example of the way the team can play. Now we have something to attach ourselves to. This is our best away match. I'm in a positive place with our group.
Don't sack me.
And I'm pleased to see them commit to what we want to do. So what's your response to that?
I think he's a bit desperate.
You think so?
After a defeat and more shit defending, personally. And because Villa aren't a great side either. That a 2-1 defeat, having played that well against Arsenal, is fine. Or Man City, if we'd have put in that performance and lost, I think you can maybe accept it a bit more, but like, Villa aren't great.
Yeah, one of the notes I've got is Mings and Konsa are an absolute mess.
Yeah.
Like, they were terrible, and we should have... it's a really weird game. Like, we got a bit of a reverse Rodrigo tonight, whereas I thought, like, he worked really hard, and he was full of energy, and his pressing was good, and a lot of our pressing was good, in fact, but then he wasn't clinical in front of goal, which is kind of the opposite of how we've had him recently, where I've been watching him thinking, are we better with you in the team or not? But then he's been scoring goals, you think, okay, fair enough.
Tell you what, clinical, Pat Bamford.
It was nice to see him back. I didn't expect him to kind of come back in and score like that. He's kind of reappeared from nowhere, hasn't he?
Yeah, I must admit, when I saw him on the bench, I was thinking, he'll be on the bench, but he won't actually be fit enough to come on. It'll be one of those reintroductions where you're sort of in the squad and getting a feel for it. But yeah, he came on. I don't remember a huge amount he did, other than the goal.
I have noted down it was that his first touch, but it was such a shame when you saw him about to come on, you thought, and it was still 1-0 at that point. You thought, oh, come on, he's going to have his moment. And he did have his moment, but sadly, while he was still waiting on the sideline, Villa had scored their second.
Further comments from Marsh on the reaction towards him from the Leeds fans. Of course, they're disappointed, but anyone who watches that game knows that's a good performance and a good team. And the calls on him to go, I'm focused entirely on our team. I understand the pressures that come with a club like Leeds United. I accept it, but I'm more positive than I've ever been.
Really? More than you've ever been.
More than he's ever been.
More than when he was like winning the league with Salzburg.
Maybe
think back to it. More than his wedding day.
interesting comment from Emma Haag on the comments on YouTube. Villa look like a club trying to get into European football. Radrazzani should take some notes and start buying unshite players, which, you know, they're trying to do, to be fair.
Villa probably have bought a lot of shite players, haven't they? Like, they've spent an absolute fortune. It's outrageous how much money they've spent and the churn of it.
And they're not much further ahead than us, if it's noticeably like at all.
How much is Coutinho being paid?
Yeah.
Like, is he on like 200 grand a week, 250 or something? He's on some stupid money, isn't he? Because he's on a Barcelona contract.
And I think they would probably like to get rid of him right now.
Exactly. So they've committed to it, and they'll be like, oh, shit, he's only actually good for 20 minutes. And he's one of the highest paid players in the division, probably.
Yeah. Just looking back through the game, I mean, you've written down more of the chances that than I did.
I mean, there was the Rodrigo one where he went around the keeper, and then it was...
That was 23 minutes,
he scuffed a shot a bit.
I'm looking at the Netherlands free kick VAR that wasn't given that on 23 minutes.
Which was a penalty. I can't say that's not a penalty.
No.
He has no interest in the ball whatsoever, and he grabs hold of him.
Clear and obvious and all that sort of shit, isn't it? It's all open to interpretation. But we're back where we started, aren't we? Pull some positives out of tonight, then. Come on. I know this is not necessarily the right people in the room, but...
I thought... I much preferred Rocker than I had done recently. I thought him and Adams together in midfield gave us a bit of a platform. But Adams did some very good Tyler Adams in. There was that great big double tackle. I think it was actually just before they ended up breaking for the second goal.
And his passing was a bit more progressive, I thought, as well. He was looking to go forward a bit more tonight.
Yeah, and dribbling forward as well. I mean, I guess it was a shame. It was the Ashley Young tackle on him, wasn't it, that then led to their second goal. And it was like, it was Adams that had won the ball and done the good work, but it's like, that's not the guy we want in the box. I'm actually on the end of the chance.
Yeah, he was. I thought he was really good today, really tenacious. Looked like he was breakdancing a lot of the time in midfield, but it was kind of about five tackles in a row. He was kind of just rolling about on the floor, tackling person after person, but I thought he was excellent. He was probably the best midfielder on the pitch.
Yeah.
Trying to think who was there for Villa. I'm going to say he was.
And I've been watching Rocker recently, sort of tearing my hair out a little bit at him, but I thought he was good tonight. There was that 10-minute spell just before half time. Well, we actually moved the ball really well and created some chances, which isn't really what we've been seeing from Leeds recently. Like, just a bit of composure, really, I suppose, up until the finish. But yeah, we were moving the ball about nicely.
I thought Aaronson was a marginal improvement on his recent performances. There were some good bits. There were still some moments of weakness, and I think I'd have to watch it back. I'm not sure if he was maybe should have stopped that break for Villa's opening goal. I can't remember. I might be completely wrong in blaming him here, but he was, I thought I could see what he was trying to do today, even if it didn't always come off. Whereas the last couple of games, he's just been a complete passenger. So maybe he's returning to form a bit.
Yeah, I thought he was all right. Yeah, without being outstanding or being terrible, I thought he was just fine. I thought, most of all. Jesse Marsh is also saying if we can play like this every week, we have a bright future.
He might be right.
There's nothing you can really say to it, though. It's like, okay, play like that every week.
I think it keeps bringing us back to the same point, isn't it? Everything is now being funneled. All comments, you can't look at it without looking through the prism of Marsh and whether this is working and this is going to last, can you? Everything comes back to that now because we need points on the board. Everything, every single angle we look at here for this game and the players, whatever, you think, well, what's he doing? What's happening? Where's this going?
I've said it before, but it's another game where I'm coming out of it and you think, okay, well, what are we going to do in the next game? It's like, if we do play that in the next game, cool, we might get something out of that. It might be fun to watch. That would be positive. But so often, recently, we'll have some form of promise and then the very next game you watch them and just think, what the fuck was that? Like, you know, like West Ham, I enjoyed the kind of comeback and the way we played getting back into that game. And then you watch the first half against Cardiff and it's like, oh, we're just doing the same thing again, aren't we?
Yeah. I think maybe we're helped today because Mings and Contra, I thought, were both pretty terrible with the ball at their feet as well. So the pressing we were doing had an impact, I thought. And they did quite often lose it or just end up kicking it long as a result of the pressing. Whereas when we've done that against better teams, they just pass around us and break. And then they meet our shambolic defence and score a goal.
Rob's making a good point, actually, here in the comments about Marsh burning through games. That's the problem. And it's true, is that, isn't it? It's all fine and well saying, oh, well, we did all right in that one. We'll hopefully we'll get some out of the next one. And the games are just ticking by and ticking off and ticking off.
And before you know it, you've won two games in 17. And it's like, oh, shit. Yeah. It's hard to actually stick up for that, isn't it? Even when there are signs of promise.
And we're at the bit of our season now where we need to win games. This is the moment where we need to start picking up points in this little run. If we get a month down the line and we're only a point or two better off, we're in massive, massive trouble.
Yeah. Because there's some huge games coming up thereafter, aren't there?
Yeah. So
not as winnable on paper. But
you can't. Yeah. I don't think you can just go, oh, well, things are improving. It's like, yeah, but they've got to improve pretty rapidly and by more, because otherwise it's we're just gonna not get any wins, are we? So, and that will send you down.
I think Elliot's trying to hoist me by my own petard here, asking about the points versus goals thing. Looking.
Jesse's absolutely fucked it for you, hasn't he?
Yeah, well,
system.
Well, actually, do you know what?
But 33 goals, you're almost safe.
But when you look at us going forward, we look like a team that should be able to score our way to safety. But the problem is at the back, isn't it? So we are scoring quite a few.
Yeah, I beg your pardon, 33 is conceded. We've scored 26, though.
Well, actually, that's what Elliot says. What's the points versus goal looking like? Surely we're going against it with the amount we concede. Well, that's it, isn't it? We keep conceding them.
Yeah. But, I mean, you do look at the teams below us. You know, Bournemouth have got 18. Three of which were against us, so don't count. but everyone else, like 14, 13, Wolves with 11 goals. We should really be outscoring everyone and much higher up the table. But we're not. We've got more goals than Chelsea, for God's sake.
Oh, they're terrible, though.
Yeah, I mean, they are terrible, yeah. But even so, I mean, like, you know, Scum up in fourth, they've got 27 goals.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like we're in a relegation fight, apparently, said Jesse. We're only halfway through, not even halfway through the season, he said.
Well,
I mean, league table suggests otherwise.
He's wrong, isn't he?
Can't we be in the relegation zone by like the end of this game week?
Yes.
Yeah, we're 2 points above it at the moment.
Yeah. Made progress since Liverpool to be the team we want to be. I'd concentrate not so much on the negativity of the two wins in 17. And he's going about the performance again. So,
I mean, he did reject the two wins in 16 before this game by saying, I'm going to just look at the last eight. And then, I mean, even if you add tonight to that eight games, we've got two wins in nine. So it's still not fantastic.
It's not much fun, is it, at the minute? When are we back in? We're playing again on Wednesday, aren't we?
Yeah.
We've got Cardiff. At least that removes a bit of the pressure from the league, but it's going to be all on again against Brentford, isn't it? And if that goes against us, Elland Road's going to be a horrible place against Brentford. It will turn. It's on the verge of turning, you can tell, can't you?
Yeah, the away ends.
It's a good barometer, isn't it?
It really is. That's where a discontent starts. So, I mean, I guess it was Leicester, wasn't it? It really it's kind of turned earlier in the season.
First thing, it's like, how many times are we just going to come back to this point? You thought, like, after that run of games that culminated in Fulham, was that the last one? We think we've just wasted this, like, brilliant run of fixtures again, of winnable games. And then we got the two wins against Liverpool and Bournemouth. And now it feels like we're wasting a similar run of fixtures where you think, oh, they're the winnable games.
And it will only get more desperate and the pressure grow greater. I know people don't want to hear this, but it does sometimes take time. It's always about results, but I know if we play like this, we'll get results much more often than we have.
Well, he might be right. But it's a hell of a gamble to say that.
Yeah, and gamble is the word, because there's a lot at stake here.
Exactly, because at some point you go, well, 36 games played and we're kind of in the relegation zone. Like, are the next two games going to be enough to pull this round? He's not. It's the sort of thing I expect the managers to be saying after they've been here a month, not 10 months, with a full pre-season and a load of players that they wanted
and
through the door.
A month break after the Queen had passed away, and then another month, 6 weeks,
for
the World Cup. It's like they're really good opportunities for a new manager to get their ideas across, and he's still talked about not getting his ideas across.
We're getting more about clarity here as well in the post-match. Why is it still a struggle to get consistency and performances? It's a question he's been asking himself. Some of it is about handling stress. I'm trying to urge the players to play with more clarity into the tactical idea we want. But they played...
For the people just listening to this, Rob's got his head in his hands. I shut my eyes for a second.
I can't hear him.
It's just the same fucking thing.
Clarity and stress again.
It's bullshit, because they handled the stress because we attacked quite well. What the problem was defensive organisation, wasn't it, tonight, that meant we were two goals behind?
Yeah. I worry if he thinks it's about stress, I think he's wrong.
Is what
it boils down to.
Are you feeling stress?
I do. I get stressed with I get stressed by his press conferences. This week when he was just talking about not knowing where he was going to bring Verber on, I was thinking, please be quiet. Don't do this to yourself.
My watch measures a stress level, which I don't know how it does that, but I've never been more stressed than discovering that
it just
that
knows
measures
whether it knows whether you're near
level.
It knows whether you're near Elland Road or not.
But it's like, I just always picture Marsh going up to the players like, are you stressed? You're not stressed, are you? Come on, don't be stressed. And he's like, fucking hell, Jesse, I wasn't until you started talking.
You're stressing me out now, stop it.
But then it was the thing about Verber in the press conference was extraordinary, how the previous answer he'd mentioned clarity, and then he talked about, well, what did you tell Max Verber when he was coming on at Cardiff? And he's like, oh, Tommy's going to come on at left back and then centre back. and then left back, and then centre back, and then I changed my mind six times. Then I brought him on in central midfield. And you think, why don't tell us this, Jesse? Just lie. Just say, I always said I was going to bring him on in central midfield.
And lie to me, say I look nice in the dress. Yeah. I don't want to know the truth. It's too horrible. Of course I don't look fat. Speaking of clarity, actually, I did make a note about the towards the end of the game when all the subs were on. I don't know where anyone was playing.
I mean, he did that at Leicester, didn't he, actually, where he just sort of got the subs on. Go on, lads.
I don't necessarily disagree with a bit of chaos in the last minutes, but it was like, is Joffe on the right? Is he up front? Who's further forward between Bamford and Rodrigo? Is Greenwood now like a holding midfielder? Yeah. It was all quite confusing.
Well, that was the thing with Greenwood for Rocker. We just sort of stopped having the ball at that point. Mm. And I know Rocker always gets subbed off because he seems to get tired, but I thought he was playing well and then we just lost control of it again.
I think, well, let's wrap it up, and because I think that is a good place to wrap it up, because we're ending on questions and that's what it is about. It's like being a Leeds fan at the minute. It's what it's about. We're just left with, well, when is this either going to work or come to an end? Would you just put it out of its misery now?
Probably.
if that didn't make it through the audio, Rob just whispered, yeah.
I want it in a kind way. I don't hate Jesse. Like, there were managers in the past that I've been like furious with and desperately hated them, wanting them to fuck off. I don't feel like that towards him. I just feel like he maybe is not ever going to get it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I also just think, what the fuck were the board talking to him for 2 years? And this is what it's led to. It's like, Christ, he's really sort of sold you a dream there, hasn't he? Or yeah. Something's gone wrong.
Kept telling him there's going to be all this clarity, then he's over it. It's just not enough clarity. You've told us for 2 years you were big on clarity. I am. And they're not doing it.
What
so.
Does it mean?
It doesn't mean anything, does it?
Yeah, I don't think it does. I mean, I think, here's the thing as well. It is, you know, that response is coloured tonight by being straight after full time. You know, we don't prepare anything when we come into this. It's just shooting from the hip, isn't it? How you feel in that particular moment. And if we fast forward to a week on Sunday and we beat Brentford and the table's looking all right, then you probably breathe a bit more of a sigh of relief and think, okay, fair enough. But I do have to say, like, in the long term, I struggle to see where it's heading. But I'm ready to be proved wrong. You know, I'd quite like to be proved wrong.
Yeah, and as I said, I would only get rid of him if there is a good alternative out there. Because I don't think it's a complete disaster at the moment. I can see good things, but I don't think he's got it in him to fix the defence. So you pretty much rolling the dice on being able to outscore someone.
Rob's suggesting this match ball needs more clarity in capital letters.
In that case, Marsh out.
I think there is that thing as well, when you get to a point where...
Get Eddie Gray in and play the kids.
Where a manager is having his mannerisms taken the piss out of, basically, that you have to call time on stuff like that. You know, because it's kind of gone beyond the sublime to the ridiculous, hasn't it?
Maybe, but people have always taken the piss of managers' things. But if you're winning, it sort of doesn't matter. Mm.
What's the alternative is being asked in the comments. Well, we don't know, do we? I mean, but that's not necessarily a reason to hang on to something that's failing. But it's that question. There's never any definitive answer about whether it's the right or wrong time to sack a coach. Ultimately, what we think doesn't really make any difference anyway.
No, and ultimately, it's not our job to find the next manager.
No.
Or even to put names forward, because it won't make any difference. Mm. Victor Orta is very much his own man with these things, isn't he? So we could shout and scream about a manager we think would be great, but it won't make any fucking difference. So what will be the point?
Let's finish on one positive. Patrick Bamford's back and he got his 100th goal.
That was good. Yeah.
Patrick Bamford. Right, we'll wrap it up there then. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll be able to do something lighter on like Wednesday and then Sunday, Cardiff and Brentford. Two wins would put a different complexion on the week, right?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah.
And Jorginho Rutter, if he hasn't gotten the first plane back to Germany, we'll have something new and shiny to look at. And
do you wonder what they've told him about Marsh, don't you?
We'll see. We'll speak to you in a bit. The Match Ball.